call this meeting of the Library Advisory Commission to order. Can I have a roll call, please?
Sean Campbell.
Here.
Ellen Campos.
Here.
Martha Dexter.
Here.
Nancy Girt.
Here.
Barbara Gorson. Absent. Cindy Jackson. Absent. Deb Tracy Prue.
Item number two, adoption of the agenda. Can I have a motion to adopt tonight's agenda?
Move to adopt.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Item three, oral communications. Is there any member of the audience that would like to address the board on an item not on this evening's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to item four, the report by the library director.
I submitted a report in writing, so okay. I think it speaks for itself.
Yes. Okay, move on then to item five, member reports.
I'll give a brief one. The AmeriCorps team has arrived. They're here for one of the most disastrous winters out of a long time, and they're just, there's 12 of them, and they're all piled together at Highlands Park in a cottage that they live in. Anyway, they'll be working on the Felton Library land for a week or two in February, doing invasive removal, and they're going to rebuild a fence, and they're just the most wonderful bunch of kids. Just adore them. They're working for the whole 2 months in the valley on restoration. And then we had our first meeting with our landscape architect from Amy West, from Johnny Janecki's firm. And that went well. There were a lot of parties there, so as there always seemed to be at these meetings. But it got us going on the conceptual design, the beginnings of the conceptual design for the 2-acre parcel. That was pretty, really fun. And now we have a next step, so I'm starting to be able to see a lot of different things, and it's great. And I suppose in a month, maybe next month, we'll have more of a, might be able to present something, I don't know, next month or after.
This morning, I participated in the homeless survey count, and actually I found out about it from Susan and, is it Maya or
Miley?
Miley, at the downtown library. And so I signed up and volunteered to do it, and as it happened, I got the census tract that included the downtown library and all of downtown, and it was very, very interesting. I know Susan participated in the count, as well as, I think you had 4 or 5 library staff that were involved in it, and it was all over the county, and you were in other parts of the county, so I think it was good for library staff to be out and participating in the project, and I learned a lot, and I'm glad that you told me about it. And it's consistent with the strategic plan in the document that you went, knowing the community and getting out into the community and seeing firsthand what's going on. It's very, very interesting.
What organization is running
that? I guess it's
I think it's the United Way, isn't
it? No, that runs the count. It was a, that's running the count, it was a statistical research organization.
I think hired by the county.
They're
in Watsonville.
Right, they do the whole county, and they do it, it's to be in compliance with HUD granting organizations so that they can comply with whatever data they need. And so it's every 2 years in January. So it was very interesting. Nothing surprised me. I had the downtown track, and nothing surprised me. But what I did not know when I signed up was that teams would go out with a guide who is someone experiencing homelessness, and our guide was really very helpful in making sure we knew where to go and what to look for, and that was also interesting. So. Also very early this morning, so so we're a little tired, right?
I'm really tired.
Thank you. Did you have a report?
No, thank you.
Cindy, we just have to see the arm, though.
Yeah. Dolly, what in the world? That's really serious.
That's like a big cast.
I thought it was going to be one of those other
ones. Well, it will be Friday. I should get a color. Friday, I get a color. Pink is going to be.
Can we sign it?
I'm thinking about it.
How long?
4 weeks. Mm. Or 5 more weeks.
And what was broken?
My radius.
No, the real deal.
Good job. I get the clutch of the year award. Thanks, I broke his radius in the summer. It hit it where that splint for 2 weeks while it's to make sure. Yeah, I know, it's really frustrating. So.
Right-handed.
I'm 10 times better after surgery. 2 feet, I'm 10 times better. Oh, you had surgery? Oh, I didn't realize that. 10 times better. Yeah, I can.
Sean said you were able to type.
Yes, I can type today. Today I was able to tie my own shoes and zip my own jacket, which was having my name read. So, it's getting better.
It's on the mend.
So sorry to hear it.
Item number 6 is the consent calendar. There's one item to approve the minutes of December, receive the minutes of December 12th, and approve them. Is there a motion?
There's a mistake.
Okay.
If you look at the date, unless we're time traveling, I don't think we're meeting in 2016 in December.
2016,
yeah. Eagle eye.
Ah, oh, that's the stuff that's so hard to catch, too.
And it's right all everywhere else except for the top.
Definitely. That was only correction.
Make that correction.
Thank you. I think you can approve it.
You can
it
approve
that.
It with...
Let's approve with, it with that correction.
Yeah.
Actually, we have to have a motion for that.
I'll move approval. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. On to item 7, general business. Six items here, the first of which is the annual election of the chair and vice chair. If I recall, we did this by general acclamation at the beginning of this. So I guess the question would be, is there a party that is interested in volunteering as a chair?
Well, I wasn't at the first meeting, so I don't know how it was done, but I'm willing to do it.
Last person started. I will nominate Martha Vestrich as chair.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. We now have to make a nomination for vice chair. Is anybody interested in being vice chair?
Probably Barbara Gorson.
I think Barbara was concerned about her role too. I'm willing to serve as vice chair.
I nominate.
I second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Be there and be elected.
Yeah. Do I? Okay. All right. No, I have.
Thank you, Sean.
You did a wonderful job.
Thank you, Sean. All right, our next agenda item is the strategic plan 2017 to 2021, and I'm looking at Susan. Or
I would love Janice to come up because she really did the vast majority of the work.
Can I?
Yes, you may.
Thanks.
But speak loudly so that.
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe you can scooch up.
Yeah, scooch up.
Okay. You have received now, I think, at least 2 copies that I'm aware of from the final strategic plan that is 1 page. So what I thought I would talk about tonight
is some of the foundation, some of the patterns that we uncovered when we looked at those big binders of raw data. So if you don't mind, I'll start there, but then we can talk about whatever you would like. It was very interesting. It was very consistent. We had 10 readers. Two of the readers were from the commission, and I so appreciate the willingness of Barbara and Martha to really
I read wasn't a the reader.
Binder. Oh, it was Cindy. It was the binder is this thick, and Cindy and Barbara both read through it and gave comment, and then the rest of the readers were staff, library staff, who also went through and gave comments, and across all the readers, it was very consistent, which made finding the patterns and finding the foundation straightforward. Lots of these things you won't be surprised about. A couple of them you might be surprised that they haven't been in libraries. The first was across the board, people were looking for more hours, but not necessarily a greater total, but more hours in the morning, more hours in the evening. We were looking for hours at very specific times. But that was across the board, all branches. And just to remind you, it was one-on-one conversations, community meetings, surveys that were both online and written, and the survey for the tech plan, which was all based on the from the website. So altogether, we had 1,000 responses, which was pretty interesting in itself, and we were able to draw those conclusions. There was, everyone very much appreciates children's programming, but there was across the board a great interest in more adult programming, and particularly in events and discussions that looked at community issues and looked at both sides, because many people commented that the library is a neutral place, and they thought of the library as a place where you could go and hear both sides, or three sides, or eight sides of an issue, and have that kind of conversation. And that was amazing. It was across the board, and that has also never come up before in any of the data gathering we've ever done. This is the first for this, but it was also very consistent. In any of the facilities that we have, there's a need for both quiet spaces and interactive spaces, whether some of each or one space that can be converted that is flexible, that can be one kind of space in the morning and another kind of space in the evening. Lots of interest in multi-purpose areas, meeting rooms, lots of interest in meeting rooms. As you know, most of our branches do not have meeting rooms at this time, but there's a great interest in as many of our branches as possible. Materials for all ages and some of them are
No.
And we are looking at that. We currently run about 8% of our budget in materials. We're certainly hoping to have it at 10% and someday even higher. So we are looking at improving that. People want more technology access, and that includes two things: the right infrastructure, so we have the right broadband pipe, but also the right number of devices, but also training opportunities, the opportunity to learn how to use their devices, how to use the library's devices, how to do searches, how to do the next steps. So there's a great deal of interest in more training for the public in these areas. And then, as always, the development of more and more partnerships and services to help people who do not have homes or wander from place to place. And we are doing lots of things, partnering with lots of people in the county to see what part the library can play in answering the there's two barriers. You won't be surprised to hear about the barriers, but you might not have thought about how they would necessarily impact the library. One of them is the very high cost of housing. This is true across the county. This came up across the county. This is really important because if you're paying such a high percentage of your income for housing and you don't have money to have internet at your house or have a laptop at your house or have the devices that you need or have a printer or any of those things, so then the people in that position look to the library to help them, because whatever job you're looking for, you probably have to apply online. So you have to be able to do that. You have to have a place where you can do that. You have to be able to sit at a computer long enough to finish the application. Any parent who's ever tried to fill out a FAFSA online, hours and hours, and there's lots of people who need to do it. People who own businesses that are doing research, but it also people who are just trying to do everyday activities that they can no longer afford to do on their own. The other issue, not going to be surprised, traffic and gridlock. And this is huge for the library. This is making things very different for us, because there was a time in the library when we could look at the library as a system of different places that weren't very far from each other. So that if we emphasize this kind of service here, we could emphasize that kind of service over there. They're not very far from each other. But if people, no matter what their community, and this is true of all 10 branches, feel trapped in the place where they live, yes, I could get in my car, I could go to this other location, but I can't face the traffic. I can't face doing it. So what that means for the library is that we have to look at ways to have some of these services in way more branches than we did. We need to look at using things like that media wall in the back as maybe a way to bring several branches together for a program. So maybe the program is in one branch, and you have people at several of the other branches, all with this kind of technology, who can be interactive and participate in the program, but be in their community, not have to get in their car and drive a bit more. So these are things that we need to think about. Those are the most important patterns that we saw, and those ran across all branches, all parts of the county. And from that, then we built this one-page strategic plan that you see in front of you that tries to account for all those patterns and things that we identified. So now we have our plan. We heard from the public what they need and what they would like to have. We've identified a plan, so then the next step will be to come up with a work plan. How are we going to do this? Because this tells us what we want to do, and now we have to have a plan for how are we going to accomplish this. A plan that is very specific. If you want better user experiences, exactly what you're going to do. If you want digital inclusion, exactly what you're going to do. And that's the point that we are at right now. I'd be happy to answer any questions, or Susan may have things she would like to add.
We really wanted something that was one page, and so it's kind of startling to take that huge book and then look at one page. But I feel good about it. I think it gives us some strong direction. I think the devil's in the details, like everything. And we've gotten a pretty positive response. One thing I need to compliment you on is I've gotten a lot of positive response that about the mission statement. You guys decided to go with the short.
Yeah.
To stick with it. And to stick with it. And people are really, really grateful about that,
right.
I just need to say. But overall, I think the staff is starting to use the language that the turning outward, the community language, I think it's a culture change.
Really jumped right on it and feel that it's something they can talk about, and we certainly got the response in the community. It was a challenge when Susan said, it needs to be one page. And I thought, back to my college days and sizes of font and margins.
Yeah.
It turned out we could have plenty of white space to do it.
And thank you all. I know many of you worked really hard on this stuff.
Yes. Everybody in one way or another contributed.
I do feel like the people that I interviewed are represented here.
Oh, good.
I mean, it helped read. And by the way, I sent this to them.
Oh, good. Good.
So far, I've heard back from three of the four people I interviewed, and they were impressed.
Oh,
you know, so that made me, because I was a little worried, like, I hope they can do themselves
in
this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, since.
Oh, thank you for doing that.
Talked about it. But I also included the summary, the background, the premises and process document, because I think that, I know for sure they could see themselves in that.
We also attached in your document, we did this survey of our tech users. Yeah. And we had 600 people respond in less than a month. I was very surprised about that. And we were also putting together a tech plan in preparation to go ask the board for some money. But I think it's worth skimming that document because there's some really interesting.
And they went all over the board. They took that opportunity to reflect on all of the lives. So it's really worth it.
It gives us a lot of guidance about some of the things we need to be doing.
Thank you.
Questions, comments, concerns?
I think it's an amazing document on one page.
Yeah.
With a lot of white, as you say.
Yeah.
Famous, which
but
is
some
great.
Color.
I know, the color's nice too.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to share it more, to have more people lay their eyes on it.
Well, we can now because
good.
It was approved by the board.
Needed to have that happen.
Just having copies of just on the desk, people could, if they're interested.
Yeah.
Because it really does, I think it'll inspire some people that
could
get involved.
Great. Yeah, we're going to push it out.
Yeah.
I wanted you guys to see it and talk about it. And now we can move forward.
On the IT part of it, and I thought that was very interesting. I was gratified to see that we're kind of right in there.
Right. We're not
with our size, you know, that we're not lagging behind. There's obviously more we can do, but we're right in the mix. I also think the emphasis, this digital inclusion and some of the things that they identified in the IT part on the digital literacy, I think now more than ever, libraries are really going to be important in helping people evaluate
information
and in a world of alternative facts. I think, and I was reading something.
Well, we get to make up ours too.
Well, no, that's the point. And I was reading something just this weekend about libraries in that mix, and that it's more than just saying, oh, we're going to do a workshop on fake news and how to fight it. Instead, it's walking the talk all the time, and in every interaction with patrons, demonstrating what is valid information without, you know, pounding people. It's just we have a role in this issue, and I think that having the digital literacy as part of our.
The other thing that was gratifying is we had come up with this before the governor presented his budget, and when the governor presented his most recent budget, and of course, there's going to be all kinds of things happening, but he did talk about his priorities. And one of his priorities is for schools and public libraries. I'm so happy to see public libraries included in this, emphasizing workforce training and workforce education. We have a great role to play there. And if we're emphasizing technology and increasing our technology and the opportunities people have, then we can participate in that with the school. So we didn't know that was coming, but we're right there with it. So California does go for that. We're ready.
Statistically speaking, what's the history of circulations over the last few years here, and is it reasonable to target that as a key metric given kind of population demographics in Santa Cruz, amongst other things?
So, and I can show you this. I did some benchmarking with regional libraries on circulation, and we are below average. So I believe, but I think it means nicer buildings, better collections, more staff. I mean, it's
open hours.
Like open hours.
Yeah. Right. You're not staffing materials.
But I really do believe, and I believe our use is the best indicator of our success. Now, not everyone shares that, but and I think there are multiple ways to measure use beyond circulation.
Yes.
But I think it's a key indicator of how we're doing. And part of it is for what I'm asking of the board, I feel like I need to demonstrate some progress on things. And if we would get more staff or more hours or investments in technology and collections, our numbers should go up. If you look at the national trend right now, it's trending down. It probably peaked in about 2008. Interestingly enough, where the big losses are in DVDs. I mean, it's not necessarily a book loss. It's a circulation of multimedia that is now moving to a different format.
Yeah.
But I still believe we can do better. We've sort of benchmarked against the area. We didn't go outside California. We went Northern California. And there's a lot of reasons why something's a high circ library versus low. But we can do better.
What is our card holder? How do we compare?
Someone has told me. You know, one of the things, though, I think our card holder count was pretty good. But in part, it's because people have multiple cards, I think. It's more important to me that they use them.
Yeah.
You're saying they don't get canceled cards? When they're they don't get canceled?
And I apologize. I think it's 3 years of non-use. So there is a process do that. But I thought the card holder statistic looked pretty good.
So our saturation into the market, so to speak.
Do you expect to use like a kind of like a total touch type of metric, right? I mean, given like presumably you see those as qualitatively different, like coming to a branch and getting a book or picking up a book versus like getting a book.
And circulation can do the digital piece. I think visits is important because we're arguing for new buildings. So theoretically, people need to want to go to those spaces. Another really key thing for this library system is they've just invested an enormous amount of time and energy into programming. And measuring that, I think, is really important because part of it's this learning environment that's creative and interesting.
And those numbers have exploded. Those numbers are higher than they've ever been by a lot.
And at the rate they're going, I think the percent increases on those are likely to increase more quickly than CERC even. But I would like to do hours of PC use and wireless logins. I think there's so many things we're doing beyond basic CERC. The other thing that has made me pause in giving out a lot of the data is that I'm not sure we have an even playing field across branches. So everyone wants to compare branch against branch. And when you look at our staffing and facilities, the variation's so great. So I honestly have been trying to avoid conversation,
But we're going to get into it in another conversation we're going to have.
I'm sorry, I probably should have asked this at a meeting that I unfortunately missed. How were the respondent breakdowns in terms of age, children, et cetera?
Like on the strategic
plan? Yeah, on the data that fed the strategic plan, did that come out as you expected or you think otherwise reflect the community?
Yes, we did. We did have people in all age groups, and I don't have in my head what our percentages were, but I could go back and look.
And it varied by
all the way from like a school-age child, someone who could express themselves.
But like the community meetings, we didn't collect it.
We didn't collect it there.
And so I think we have it on pieces and not on others.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was a guess.
That's true. That would be true.
Can always ask.
I still think our underrepresented populations are underrepresented in the 1,000.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm thrilled that it was 1,000, but it's still. There were people that we didn't get. We tried really hard to talk to people who didn't have cars, who haven't come into the building, as well as people who do use the services. But you can always do better.
True.
There's always a group you didn't talk to.
But we did do like 2 Spanish speaking communities.
We did. We had some nice results there.
Anyone else? Okay. The next agenda item, draft work plan 2017-FY2018.
So now I'm trying to show the devil in the details. So the draft work plan, again, we're just communicating with staff on this. So this is, we had to get the plan done before we started the work plan. But it really is an attempt to talk about what are we going to do year one. And you can see sort of breakdowns into objectives, some special projects that are going on. We'll have a column for updates. We'll also assign responsibility for reporting to staff as we move along. But I wanted you to see some of the things that are in the work plan. So like under the learning category, learning pathway, we have adult programming, youth programming, and outreach. And we're going to do projects around things like local history, veterans programming, workforce and co-working, homelessness, and then trying to do some better measurement with kids. We really want to focus on improving our K-12 school partnerships. We lost that when we centralized the staff, so it's going to be a big push in the next year to try to develop some of those relationships back. And then with our outreach program, I don't think we're going to make a lot of changes. We just want to evaluate the programs and make sure we're spending the money in the right way. And so we kind of do this going down this whole work plan. If you see major components missing, please let me know. A lot of this is in anticipation of the building projects. So there's one that I think is really interesting that's relatively new is under 4, the very last one is localization. And the idea of really getting aggressively part of the community. And so there's a conversation, and this is something I think we need to have with staff, about community-led program. How do we become facilitators of the building more and allow the community to develop some of the things that are going on in it? I think with programming, we do a lot of that now. If you saw our programming budget, you'd really understand that. But I think we've been taking the people that were present and there, and I think there's a whole added layer of working with communities to see what's going on in this building and how can we make things happen. So I'm kind of excited about that. The Institute of Museum and Library Services, IMLS, just did a big study about community building in libraries and museums. It came out like a week ago, and it's so consistent with what we've written in the plan. And I think some of this, it's really exciting to
see. Is it possible to send the link?
I will. Will you put that in the notes to send the IMLS study? I'll send it to you all.
That would be good.
Thank you.
pretty exciting. I also want to say that you recommended in the report, and it must have been at some, maybe one of our earlier meetings, about Nina Simon's book, yeah. The Art of Relevance, mm-hmm. is really excellent.
Yes.
On so many levels, not just for this organization, but for any community organization. And
I agree.
And if you haven't read it already, wow, it's right on the money.
I went to one of their events again on Friday, and it's just so interesting. There were 150 people, and they did this activity.
Yeah.
But it was 18-year-olds and 85-year-olds and everything in between.
Oh, nice.
And their ability to create intergenerational programming is just fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm, yeah, me too.
So lots of things to learn. Okay.
Anything more on the work plan? Anyone? The next agenda item, FY 2016 fund balance spending plan.
So there's some good news, and there's some good news.
Yeah.
So we have a fund balance as of last July 1st of $2.3 million. That has never happened before. There's a series of reasons for it that we've gone through with the board, including a huge number of interim staff and unfilled positions, and prepayment of about $800,000 worth of Measure S costs up front via the library budget that has now been repaid back, but also including things like the rearrangement of the overhead costs with the city. We renegotiated that, and that saved us $120,000 a year. So a series of things are adding up to a $2.3 million fund balance. This is after a 15% reserve as well,
mm-hmm.
okay? So that all has been taken aside. We have a $500,000 equipment fund that we also put aside so we can save for things. And so this amount is beyond that. So as part of the strategic plan, I kept saying to the board, I know there's going to be a fund balance. I would like to spend it on the library in some ways. The thing about a fund balance is it's one-time funds. The thing about our need is often they are recurring, especially if they deal with staff and hours. I put together a proposal that would give us about $400,000 to expand hours in the library system, $300,000 for really technology. It would do a complete upgrade of the public technology in the library. It will allow us to also check out laptops as well as desktops to be used in the building. It would allow us to go to digital printing because so many people are coming in with devices and needing digital printing. But also if we have laptops, we'll need it as well. And then the last piece is to infuse our collection with $300,000 of one-time funds, particularly focus on upgrading the collection for the new buildings. So that, you know, these are not glamorous things, but it's like replacement copies, especially of series. If you like Sue Grafton's A through Z
mm-hmm.
mysteries, you know, and we lose G, part of it is we got to go replace G, but also the letter D may be used 360 times and be in shambles. So it's really creating a collection that's newer and reflects sort of the building itself. When you go into a new building, there's nothing worse than seeing no books or really, really old, icky books. So I asked the board this. And we had a very long discussion, and Cindy and Nancy were there. Ultimately, the board asked to do a retreat in 2 weeks about the financial situation of the library,
looking at the recurring funds and the recurring problems that are going to happen, primarily as a result of PERS. And we know we get hit really hard in 2008. It's 2018. And so we're putting together a retreat for the board to have a conversation about what portion of the 2.4 million is coming in a recurring way and what truly is a one-time fund. So for example, the renegotiation of the contract with the City of Santa Cruz saves $120,000, but it saves $120,000 every single year. And we will go forward after having that long forecast conversation with a discussion about this proposal itself. I do have to say that Barbara wrote a letter unbeknownst to me that was against this proposal to the board. Did you guys get that?
Suspend any of it, or what were specific things about her?
She was against the hours. So here's, I know that many of you have been on the board for a long time. I find that expanding hours in a library environment is the single hardest thing to do, and it is the single thing that the public likes the most. And it's part because the public likes it so much that people don't want to do it because they don't want to take it away in the future, which I think is Barb's problem. You know, I have a lot of philosophical beliefs, but one of them is if we're taxing people and just holding their money and not spending on the library, because someday we might take cuts, it's not, we shouldn't even be taxing them then. I actually would rather see us change hours a bit due to the economic situation and have hours when we have money. Because what we're just doing is disadvantaging the public over and over and over again for what might happen in the future. I also believe, that part of what's happening, and you can imagine this, is this: what is equity between the different jurisdictions in terms of hours? And maybe we get to a point where yearly or every other year, we actually do a renegotiation of hours based upon use statistics. But I would like to see that broader set of use statistics. And I need to create a more level playing field right now, because if you just use the use statistics we have right now, it really argues against the smallest libraries, because they haven't had necessarily the program staff available. They haven't had the hours. They don't necessarily have the computers. So they're sort of perpetually disadvantaged at the input side. And so if we measure their outputs, they're kind of perpetually disadvantaged. I also believe in a minimum. I think if we have 10 facilities, and this county and community has agreed to have 10 facilities, there comes a point where it does not financially make sense to have all these resources in the building and have it closed. And I don't believe buildings should be closed under a certain number of hours. And I'm more than willing to have the conversation about what that is. Ultimately, I'd love to get it to 40. In this proposal, I try to get it to 36. What I envision in the long run is probably three levels of library hours, a sort of 30 plus hour one, a 40 plus hour one, and a 50 plus hour one that are negotiated based on use. And, you know, Barbara would love to see an algorithm, and I would say this to her face, but it's not as easy as an algorithm, because I have human beings who have tenure and seniority and are more expensive in a branch, and then I have the brand new person who costs nothing, and I can't create a perfect algorithm. Gail and I have spent endless hours trying to cost out different scenarios, and this is an art form, not a science. So I think if we could, you know, agree to the 30 to 40, 40 to 50, 50 to 60, and every 2 years we look at it and change based upon usage, and we get the public to understand what we're doing, I think we're going to be better off. I think in particular, one of the things Barbara's concerned about is there's going to be some massive changes that happen as the new libraries come on, and libraries are closed during construction. And I couldn't agree more. We are going to have sheer chaos on ours for 8 years. Because when Capitola closes, what we really need to do is take that staff and move them to Aptos and Live Oak and extend the hours. And when they open, we need to move them back and potentially, and we will shorten the hours probably back to the original ones. So I'm guaranteeing we're going to have 8 years of pure chaos on ours. The good news is the library community will get more used to this changes. It's not set in stone. The other thing, we hoped we were going to have more money as we decentralized the staff. The truth is we don't have enough staff, and so we decided to go with regions. And as we looked at the art form of assigning hours, what we were trying to do is make sure that every region has a library that's open on Sundays. That every region, we tried to add Saturday hours just because it was so clear from what people were saying that we just need more Saturday hours. But we added some, got more morning, some added an hour at night, so that there's, at least in your region, some options for hours, even it may not be exactly at your branch. And I think that is an important thing, especially while we're short of staff, to at least try to think of some of this regionally, though I know people want to do it locally. I think it's really important for us to get more hours. I really do. We are down, I think, gosh, I wrote it in here, 27% of our staff. 37? You're right. 27 was, we have 27% of our employees are part-timers or on-call. So they're not, they don't get no, they get no benefits. They, they're temporary employees. And we need to solidify this if we really want to make these great buildings great programs. But you can see why the board's really concerned about that request. I want to thank Nancy and Cindy, who both spoke in favor. That was very helpful. And I felt like you both said something personal and compelling, which was useful. And I'm hopeful that in the next 2 weeks we'll have a really serious conversation with the library board and be able to do good things. I need to point out we're still leaving $1.3 million in the fund balance, which is a lot of money. And then there's some weird things out there, like the maintenance of effort is your property tax fund. There is agreement on the board to cap our property tax revenue to the library. And they agreed to this, and it's a 5-year agreement. But I have to point out that that's an agreement, not a reality, so that there is this property tax fund on top of this balance that is out there. And so part of our longer-term recurring issues could be in part solved by letting that those funds go to the library. It's the MOE funds.
Where are those funds?
They're held in the county.
Okay. But do we ever see them anymore?
So there is an LFA board meeting on Wednesday night, and we'll get to see how much money is in those funds.
Okay. Will that be online on the documents?
I'm sure it will be. Oh, but we don't do the LFA meeting.
Yeah.
The county does.
Oh, okay. It's probably on the county.
I think there's about $350,000 in there. I think it's growing by about $100,000 a year.
Nicole usually
Yeah, I could ask Nicole.
And, you know, part of this is a disagreement between the city and the county about funding levels. But as I look at our five-year forecast, I believe that that should be considered in the five-year forecast. I think Susan Mariella would disagree with me. So.
Oh, she's retiring.
Do you have comments, questions? There's still other issues that we have not addressed in the work plan yet. The biggest one is security. We're having conversations with the city about that. I think my biggest question is whether we need permanent security guards rather than first alarm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You mean library staff?
Correct.
Was that one of the discussions with the gentleman from the San Francisco libraries?
We did have that conversation with him.
Yeah.
I don't know that he had a strong opinion about it.
No, he didn't.
I do also think there are other options, like a lot of the businesses have paid for rangers downtown rather than police officers or security guards. And the rangers are trained in a public safety officer training program. And I do think they carry tasers but not firearms. So there may be other options. But and I don't mean it in any way as a problem with first alarm, other than I think we want to set a certain tenor in our buildings. That's often hard to explain to a public safety officer, because I think they're busy and they want to get the job done. And there's a lot of turnover in the first alarm guards. So it's just something we need to explore. I also believe we need to do building equipment that supports the staff, you know, emergency buttons, security cameras. And to be honest, I would like to have that in all 10.
Right. That was a question. Is it just not just downtown?
You know, there's definitely a group of people that don't like cameras, and including, I would guess, some on my staff. But even as an alternative to have a high-def camera at entrance and exit points can at least allow us to prosecute people who have major issues and keep them out of the building.
Speaking of personal experience, video is always the best evidence now. Yeah. So, I wholeheartedly agree with that.
I did it in my last library system. Again, a little controversial. And we did deliberately did things like not put them over the computer where you might see someone doing work.
Right.
But it took out the worst of the worst.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sean.
You don't
want to
throw
an
arm.
Okay, sir.
Play the card, baby. Play the card. Going back to the other issue in terms of IT equipment, after that meeting, I started thinking, what is the difference in, for instance, are there any branches besides Scotts Valley that have laptops for use within the branch?
Not that I'm aware of. We have these laptop labs, which are wonderful.
Right.
I'd love to have it at every branch. And you've seen them at La Selva Beach. They're mobile, and you can charge 16 laptops at a time.
Right.
And
But Scotts Valley is the only branch that can check out laptops to bankers, right?
That's my understanding. They might have bought some of the labs, but the labs are now used in programming.
Yeah.
So they're being.
I know we bought some iPads.
Right.
That's probably true, too.
Yeah. So are the Patriot computers among all the branches the same?
No.
Are the current Patriot computers, would they be able to participate in any increase of bandwidth with Scenic?
Scenic.
You know what I'm asking? Honestly,
I think that our greatest limitation has been internet bandwidth, so all the computers will see improvements as a result.
Okay.
But we have very old computers.
And software's not consistent among branches?
I think the software's pretty consistent among branches. But the hope would be, I think, to expand some of the basic software.
And the devices need to be upgraded.
And what we'd like to do is a mix of laptops and desktops, because, you know, a mom who wants to watch their child, you've all seen the parent on the computers trying to manage the child. They could take the laptop to the kid's room and just sit there, and the kid could have kid things to do. And so it just allows much more flexibility. It'll work well in the new buildings, too, because with all the comfortable seating, now a lot of people like to have the laptop on their knee or a little swing table.
Sean?
So I watched a video of this meeting, actually, and saw the great comments that were given.
Wow, so that's big, Sean.
Well, hey, it's, that's big. Not the whole thing. I had to skip forward. Yeah,
did you get to see my Jimmy Stewart speech?
I didn't.
That was a really good speech.
I'll have to go look at it. I was scared.
I mean, I can understand. I guess I'm glad I'm not a county administrator and I don't have to work on a board that has to vote unanimously to discuss those things. That's nice, though. Mm-hmm. You know, nice part of not being on the board. For me, at root, we're talking about like a disjunction between what we want to provide and the taxes we're willing to pay to get it, right? And so, I mean, we all worked on this campaign where we were just able to catalyze the community to give us 70% of the vote to borrow $63 million, right? So, and we continue to have the quarter cent sales tax on the roll. So there's been tax support for the library in particular, repeatedly over the last 10 years. I tend to agree with you that for me, like, fund balance doesn't do any good sitting in a bank. It's a transfer of resources from one group of taxpayers to the other, as if it just sits there over time. And you have reserve policies to set aside money for this thing or that thing or the other thing. But I share the view that we should be probably more reactive to the tax base as the economy changes, rather than kind of always holding out for the worst, keeping a lot of money in the bank. With respect to the specific hours, I actually came here yesterday at 4 and was shocked that this library was closed on Sunday. So as a parent with a toddler, I had my little toddler in the car, storming rain, and all I wanted to do was sit down and read a book for an hour. And I didn't know that there was not one open hour on a Sunday in the entire valley with all the people that live up here. Mm-hmm. I thought that was quite a shame. And so, you know, I don't know if you're taking suggestions or whatever for the prospective proposed hours you have, but it's interesting to me that the suggestions were to choose to expand basically earlier. I'd imagine that's a staffing issue, and that it's cheaper to get a person in there. Or
it's moms with babies.
Yeah.
There are
dads that work 5 days a week that Sundays are important too. My mom, wife works 5 days a week too, right? So we actually look to go on Saturdays and Sundays. So we exist.
So we added Felton hours.
I saw that, yeah.
And part of that was trying to anticipate Felton opening.
Right.
And trying to drive some business to Felton.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be a lot more expensive to open this, honestly.
Yeah, sure.
But we had long talks about whether Sunday should be here or there, and I'm sensitive to.
Yeah, I was feeling the exact same way. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to come to this library on Sunday.
Right.
I used to meet my mock trial students at this library to work with them on the weekends, and we pretty much have to do it on Saturdays or go to Starbucks.
Where I come from, Sunday hours were some of the busiest hours of the week.
You would imagine they would be. I'm excited to see that you have the 1 to 5 for Friday on my book. I've been complaining about that for 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding, if you could answer, is that the board is going to do a study session on this, and folks are going to get their pencils out and come to an theoretical range of the fund balance over the next couple of years, subject to humongous error bars, right? And then those four people are going to decide based upon those error bars and whatever
well,
you say.
But you know, what's interesting though is what you were saying, Susan, is that they may, you know, tweak this and everything, but then it's all going to go haywire mm-hmm. when the buildings start getting built.
When they're going to, isn't someone going to try to do projections about the new buildings? I mean, that was talked about.
You know, I sat down and started talking markets through it, and it just, the one thing we don't know is the timing on the project.
Right.
And so we get into a level of assumption that becomes almost invalid.
You're stacking assumptions on assumptions on assumptions on assumptions on assumptions, and the range is this big.
You end up with nothing useful.
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do something.
I'm
going
to say something really pragmatic, too, and I wish Barbara was here. I have a honeymoon right now.
Exactly.
It's about 6 months long. This is month seven. I believe that the board felt incredibly guilty saying no to this. Wait a month. I think in 3 months, they will have no problem saying no to me. I think this is the nature of human beings. And so while I wish that when we demonstrated that we need hours through use, money would come, in my experience in the public sector, it doesn't work that way. The libraries are busiest when the community is poorest. And that is when there's no money to pay for the library. So what I found is that my libraries would get more money when the tax base was flush and people had money and alternatives. And at the moment that goes away, they cut and cut and cut the library as use was going woo, 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 woo. So on a very pragmatic level, I think now is the time to ask. I'm more than happy to rearrange in the future. But I don't think there are going to be a lot of opportunities to ask.
I have a question. Is this the kind of thing that this group is for, is to advocate or advise the board? I mean, is this where this is going? Because I feel like I'm surprised to hear a member of our group that's not here is advocating a position that I feel like most of the rest of us, from what body language and I can tell, don't agree with. Are you seeking us to make some kind of statement here? Or
do you need a resolution?
A resolution.
I mean, yeah. What is our power? We can you vote, obviously, and you can have a majority or not in support of or not. But I don't understand what our actual power in this position is.
Early on, when we were forming this. Group, that question came up. Like, so what is this? This isn't going to be a voting, deciding group.
Right.
But, and one of the things.
Advisory.
Advisory. One of the things that I thought made sense is that we would write a report that reflected what the board thought, and all the members. In other words, one member didn't feel solid about adding hours. And other members did, and these are the reasons why, or something. But because it doesn't seem like you could go to the joint powers and say, this is what we thought, when one or two or three people didn't think that, just four people did. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something to think about and decide. I mean, this is still a formative group mm-hmm. in a lot of ways.
Well, I have to actually leave, and this is the thing you're talking about. I personally feel very strongly that I agree with you.
Thank you.
Personally, everything you said. I mean, so I, you know, and it sounds like you need something soon because I'm hearing, you know.
It's 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
They meet.
So, I'm not sure, you know, what really this group, what Deb said, either our power or what our role is or how we're perceived by the Joint Powers Board or whatever, but if you need something from us.
Well, What is the recommended action?
Recommended
action on the we can take other actions.
Okay, so you have to realize the other board is my boss. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so I can't necessarily ask people to lobby against my supervisor. But I think...
We're representing the constituents. Right, so we're representing the community, and the majority of the community of the board favors this plan. Right. So
and I think you could do a resolution, and it would be nice if someone could come to the group and say... And then Barbara could just say, I have a dissenting perspective.
We could say, we could entertain a motion of a resolution that basically says we support the direction. That we're saying we're this, but we support the direction.
And it could be a 6-1 vote, or it could be just a 6-0 vote.
Today,
someone's not here, and you're not going to be able to vote. And that would tell, that always, the count always tells a story. So.
And it sounds like that person has already sent a letter expressing their point of view.
So would someone like to craft a set word such
as? So if it's a resolution, do we have to vote on it, or can we just right now make a motion and then vote on that? Like, it feels like a resolution.
We make a motion, but someone needs to word the.
I move that we accept the recommendations of the library director's plan. And we are all in agreement, not just the hours, but the remainder of the plan.
We'll call it the 2016.
Well, we're supporting the direction because we're not necessarily supporting these specific
supporting the direction
hour, because that's still subject to negotiation.
But a proposal for how that amount of money should be spent for each of those.
Okay, so you're moving.
Got this?
Wait,
yeah.
Very big
document.
It's down.
No,
it's down.
73.
Yeah, no. It's later in the document. There. The recommendation is to authorize the $1 million budget adjustment for fiscal year 17.
That was to the JPA.
Yeah.
And so under yours, it says just to review.
So review and support.
We review.
I move to support
the direction.
Budget adjustment for fiscal year 17.
Yeah, just move
it's simple.
Balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that includes it all.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Okay, so that's the motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, any more discussion? Right, then we'll vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. Thank you. I think that will help.
I think it will.
And
do
you know yet the dates of the retreat?
It's the same day as the regular JPA meeting, so it'll be the first Thursday.
Okay.
February 2nd, yeah.
And that will be open to
the public.
Right, okay, so any of us could be there. So it'll just be a part of their regular meeting?
I think it's more like a work session. So what they've asked us not to do is bring other decision items.
Oh, okay, so it's basically the same meeting, only longer.
Yeah, it is.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. So the first Thursday.
February 2nd.
And it's the morning, right? Or is it going to be in the evening? Please say it's in the morning.
It's at the downtown branch, so it's in the morning.
Okay. Because if it's at 6 o'clock.
I'm going to be at that one. Because Helga's got something.
All right. Okay. Anything else on that?
The last thing.
Oh, wait. We still have the naming policy.
Oh. I just included the latest naming policy. The board keeps dealing with it. I don't think we need to do more, but if people have suggestions.
Have they finalized that?
They have not.
Okay, so this is still draft.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Designate written report presenter for LJPA.
So really, is there someone willing to report at the next meeting about this meeting?
But you're talking about a written report, or?
Oh, are we asking for a written report
to go in their packet?
Yeah, so that way they could just have something in their packet. I mean,
that's what we discussed.
Okay.
You guys wanted to have someone who would consistently go.
I think it's good to do a written report because what I find is that after, I think we had met December 12th and it was like 5 weeks since I I can't quite remember. I mean, I remember some stuff.
Thank you.
But I've written, why not a written report? You know, it just has
to meet the deadline
for
the inclusion in the packet.
I mean, it could be a Google Doc that we all agreed on, or a couple of us worked on. I mean, you know.
So do we have a volunteer to take the lead on that?
All I do is write Google Docs.
Nancy?
I'll start, and then I'll send it to...
Well, include it.
It doesn't matter if I send it to everybody, right?
And we need it by Friday.
I mean, I'll send it to people to edit. I'm just going to start it.
If you would do that, that would be good. Okay. And then you would be the one to carry it on, to finalize it and send it on.
Send it to?
To who does it go to?
You can send it to me. And then I'll give it to Helga to put it in the packet.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
We promise you to comment back fast.
Yeah.
Well, you can just edit it, and everybody can edit it, and then when it's done, it's done.
Right.
Okay.
That is all I have.
Okay.
Is there anything else? Do we have a movement to adjourn?
You don't need a movement. You just adjourn. Yeah.
Okay, we are adjourned.